Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We sincerely love you. You're daddy to us. And we need you more than we've ever needed you. Daddy, I need your every moment, every thought, every breath, inhale, exhale, every thought, every moment of every day, even sleeping. Father, we need you. We thank you that because we're desperate for you and you take us in to the next level, we will have, and we are, we're coming to this place. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everyone that is seated here tonight and all those that will be listening through the YouTube channel and on the website in the days ahead. And we bless you, and we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to continue our lesson on Onward Christian Soldiers on that theme. And this is like the third or fourth lesson. I think this is, we had an introductory one, and then we had one, two, and three. And this is lesson three, and this is going to be called Binding and Loosing. And so just follow along with me. You can take notes. You can, I encourage you to, when we're in the scripture, to listen and to follow along. The first place here we're going to be is we're going to be reviewing a little bit of lesson two, because that was a few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago. That was before we went away. So we're going to go through just a little bit of that, and that starts out in Psalms chapter 24. So if you want to turn to Psalms chapter 24, we want to go over that just a little bit. Hallelujah. We are in a place where, despite anything that could possibly be seen on the natural, everything and every indicator in the spirit is that we are closer than we have ever been. We are not regressing, but we are progressing towards this place of a spiritual outpouring. I don't know where you're at as far as where you can see or what you can see, but if you can see in the spirit, pieces of a puzzle are being put together. And there's a lot of pieces. There's more pieces in the puzzle now than there was from the beginning. And there's a lot more pieces that are necessary to make this happen than are missing at this point in time. A lot more pieces. So the actual vision of it, for puzzles to be put together, you got all these little pieces, and depending on what your imagination is, it takes a little while to visualize what's in front of you, and especially if there's a lot of pieces. But this one, if you're walking with the Lord at all and you're following along with the theme of what's going forward in this house, you're beginning to see we are on the edge of something very wonderful. And I say praise the Lord. Amen. Psalms chapter 24 is more of the same of our commission as soldiers to know that we're supposed to be proceeding forward with a confidence. The teenagers or the young adults, the millennials call it a swag, but this is a psalm far greater than just about creation. And I want to read part of it and comment and then say some of what we said a few weeks ago and then move on to lesson three here. The Lord woke me up basically one morning with this, or early in the morning as I was just worshiping Him. It says in verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And then it says the world. In essence, it's saying the world is the Lord's. So you could read it like this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And they that dwell therein. Now, I will tell you this, the two words in the Hebrew, we're talking about Old Testament, the two words in the Old Testament are different words between earth and world, and the first one just emphatically means ground, trees, environment, all these things. The second one can mean that to some degree, but it does imply inhabitants. It has a different meaning than, and I think as you read this, as we just read it, you would think that there has to be a difference. Why would he repeat earth twice, the same thing? So he's saying here that the earth is the Lord's, what we dwell on, and then he says something very incredible. He said the world, or the inhabitants of the world, is his. We go to our foundation scripture, for God so loved what? The world. Now, it's not talking about, it is the word cosmos, but the word cosmos in the Greek also entails the inhabitants. God loves sinners. He doesn't love darkness, but he loves the sinners that are in the darkness. He loves them. He loves them incredibly. And so here, Psalms 24 is pretty incredible because it's telling us that they that are in the world, unredeemed, belong to God. Now, they don't belong to him by nature yet, and they're not our brothers and sisters. I'll be real nice to the guy at the gas station or the store, hey, bro, blah, 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 or hey, brother, you know, hey, bro, you know. But the bottom line, they are not my brother. And we interpret, well, they're human beings. I understand that. But if you want to get spiritual about it, by the new nature, by the New Testament, by the standards of the New Testament, brethren are those in Christ, those in the church. And so, but the world belongs to God. How does it belong to God? Well, if it doesn't belong to him by their nature being redeemed, it belongs to him by the inheritance in which Christ purchased when he went to the cross. In other words, those people belong on the other side of the gates of hell. They belong to him. They really do. Positionally speaking, though they're not yet redeemed, that's God's territory. And it says right here, the earth is the Lord's, follow along with me, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. I'll just read this whole chapter. It's not long. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Psalms 2:7, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read this for you. This talks about the heathen being the Lord's inheritance. Psalms 2:7 says this, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And in verse 8 it says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Right there, God promises to his son, his coming son, the Messiah, that what he will do for them, he promises him the inheritance of the heathen. Okay? He says, this is your inheritance. Well, of course, if it's his inheritance, we become a co-inheritor with Christ, have we not? Amen? It's very important that we see this. And as we go along, I pray that it polarizes or materializes in your heart and spirit, because the ground that we're marching on is not territory that we're invading that is foreign ground to us. In other words, if we're going into the world or into Satan's territory per se, where sinners are at, as far as God is concerned, that belongs to us. That ground is our inheritance. In other words, that harvest of souls belongs to us. So with that, we have this kind of mentality in the spirit. We're not backing into something saying we don't belong here, but possibly we're going to try to move in on this territory and harvest these. We can go in a very boisterous way in the spirit and say, the heathen of Immokalee belongs to us. It belongs to the kingdom of God. It is held captive, hostages, present tense by darkness in their minds, but positionally speaking, they are the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Everybody still with me? Hallelujah. If you're here, say amen.
Okay. The heathen for thine inheritance. Say this with me. The heathen, that's the unsaved, is Christ's inheritance. Okay, if you don't get this, it's my fault. Okay? Because the burden of communication is always on the communicator. It's like, see the ball. Do you understand? We could talk about all our rights in Christ, and that we do. We have it. But do you understand that he's saying that those outside of him is his inheritance? They belong to him already. We're not trying to go get something that's not ours. It's ours. Hallelujah. That gives us boldness. For God so loved the world, not the darkness, but the sinner in the world. 1 John 5:9 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And that word wickedness really is personified. It's under the wicked one, Satan himself. 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. Hallelujah. And I'm just going to read some of these notes, and then we'll get into lesson 3. The world, they are under the dominion of Satan because of the sin nature. Now, this we understand. But positionally, in truth, they belong to Christ in his inheritance. God sees the whole world and the inhabitants of it belonging to Christ through his inheritance of the nations. Through the election or free will choice of salvation, every individual belongs to him. The position has been already provided for. The position of truth is this. Those who become, okay, we talked about this. I'll just mention this. There's an inclusive doctrine that says everybody belongs to Christ because of what he did. That's not what we're talking about. That's weird. That's false. That's, you know, poo-poo. It's not truth. You do have to elect to receive Christ. Not everybody is going to be saved just because they're positionally an inheritance. They still have to make that election, okay? We all understand that, okay? We've verified that with the simplest, most quoted verse in the Bible. Whosoever believeth, or for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should what? Not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9 says, if thou wilt confess, if you do something, you have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Hallelujah. Now, the world, this is the part, and I want to talk to you about this for just a moment, because when we get to the scripture that we're going to, we'll have more to say about this. The world, really, when God talks about in Matthew, when Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he says, I say unto you, and we're really going to get into this scripture, so I want to elaborate a whole lot on this particular one right now. I say unto thee, this he was speaking to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell are, they're in every city. Individually, they're basically in every unborn-again believer or unborn-again person that's not yet a believer. Paul said it's a mindset. He said the God of this world has darkened the minds of them that believe not, lest they would believe and see the gospel of truth. But the gates of hell are encamped, and they set up fortification. They set up fortification in every individual, every city, every location. But really, if you look at it like this and you see that it is the gates of hell are, it's a concentration camp. I talked about 2 or 3 weeks ago, my visitation. How many of you remember or was around when I went to Poland several years ago? Several of you, okay. I saw, and I come back and reiterated some of that or told you about some of that, but there's no way me standing here to describe to you what I saw years later as a residual. Now, a lot of you, you know, I mean, you women are as tough as men in certain areas, but I'm telling you, I'm a pretty strong guy as far as I'm strong in my emotions, and I can look at things, and I've seen multiple people die in front of me. I've prayed for people that were dying. I just seen a lot of stuff, and I go away, and I'm okay. I'm not an emotional wreck. I don't like it. But I'm telling you, after a day there, it was incredible. It was incredible. I just went to two camps, Auschwitz, and then the other one was just down the road. It was called Birkenau. And incredible concentration camps. You went through these big, huge wire gates, and then one you went through what they call the Tunnel of Death. And if you were at Birkenau, which was the other camp of Auschwitz, it was incredible. It was just terrible. It was just a terrible place to be. And how big they were was undescribable. That once you got off, it was almost like as far as the eye could see. There were, 100, 200, 300 acres. I mean, it was just huge. Maybe it was more. And there was barracks after barracks after barracks. And these people lived and worked and died there. And when they got off the train, many of them were exterminated. I know there's children here. They were taken care of right then. But most of them never, ever. It was just a very minimal amount of the thousands and multiple millions that came into that camp. People would all live in one barracks. There was no privacy. The latrines were right in front of everybody. And the atrocities of prison, that kind of concentration camp, was beyond anything that present tense prisoners have to put up with today. And you know, we've got prisons, and it's not good to be in prison, but I'm telling you, there's no way to describe what those people went through. But the gates of hell, is spiritually speaking, though you can't see them, and though the world can't see them, they're worse than the Auschwitz. They're worse than the Birkenau's. They keep a person incarcerated, concealed to the reality of Christ, and they keep them sick, depressed, and this carries over right into the church. Right into the church, even though we've been given the inheritance of all of everything that Christ has given us. And yet all these things follow a person, and if there's not us that understand the truth and invade on that, then nothing ever happens. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Gates, everybody say this with me, and just look up and tell me this. Gates don't march. Okay, very good. You're a good class. In other words, they're stationary. They are there to conceal what's going on. The darkness, they keep people concealed in it, and they confine people as well. Psalms 24, I believe, is a prophetic psalm to Immokalee, and I believe that we need to say this together, that Immokalee is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell in it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. At the end of this psalm, we won't go into it tonight, but it says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, you everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Well, we won't go into the fullness of what is available, because we've got some lessons coming up that I just know they're going to be incredible. We're going to talk about, in time to come, the Lord of the angel army. Folks, we've got angels, and I'm going to do some extensive teaching on angels in the right way, and we're going to go into understanding the availability of these angels and what they're here for. But the Lord, he is the Lord of hosts, and the host means here the angelic host. It means the King of glory. He's the Lord. The word says that he is the captain of our faith, and he is the Lord of hosts over in the book of Hebrews. I don't have that in front of me. But here, I can find this because it's right here in my notes. This word host means a mass of persons, especially regularly organized for war, by implication or figuratively appointed for battle, an army, battle, a host for service, soldiers waiting upon warfare. Now this is the scripture in Hebrews 2:10. It says, for it became him for whom all are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So he is the, everybody say this, Jesus is our captain, leading us soldiers into warfare. Hallelujah. The right kind of warfare. Amen. Now, as I said earlier, we are on a collision course with a tremendous outpouring. Amen. A total collision course. There's no way to escape it. We haven't been doing what we're doing for all these number of years that this is not going to be totally intercepted. And I hope that you can see. I want to recommend a couple of, and to those that are listening on the YouTube, and to those of you that are out there, please make these notes if you haven't listened to these already, because I believe they're really messages that are comparative in the foundation in which we are walking in these days. Both of them are by Gary Carpenter, and I'll tell you where you can find them on his website. One is speaks about dominion, and it was done on a Sunday night. And if you go to his website, you'll see media. Click on media, and it'll go to Sunday services or Sunday mornings. I can't remember how that is, and then I think it's Sunday nights. But it's a Sunday night service. It's lesson 381, and it was done on 5/7 of 17, just last month. And it's called Enforcing the Dominion of Christ. Now, that's one you really need to listen to. And then the other one I would say that is very important is one that was done on a Sunday, and it is lesson 593, and it is all about communion, and it is entitled This Do in Remembrance of Me, and that was done on 5/31 of 17. Hallelujah. Now, beginning in lesson 3 tonight, the church is to this point milling around, okay? We have not been marching. The title of this is Onward Christian Soldiers, but the church in large has not been marching. It has been milling. Do you know what milling is? Well, this is the definition of milling. It means to move in a circle, at least in the way that I'm using it, present tense. It means to move in a circle as cattle upon a plain, to move around aimlessly, usually used with the word around, okay? We are made, listen, the church is made to consume. It's made. Jesus gave us life to consume, to keep going forward, to keep going forward. If you don't go forward, in other words, the Lord talked to us Sunday about 101, prayer 101. We just always go back to the basis, prayer, praying in tongues, ladies next door, everybody getting the fire. It's the ambition and everything that we do is fed through Spirit and Word. Spirit and Word, Spirit and Word, Spirit and Word. There's no other plan. That you can't get there any other way. There's no other way. But the church as a whole, and here's where we're trying to exit that, it's just been, the church will cannibalize itself if it doesn't march. It will actually Pac-Man itself and eat itself up if it doesn't fulfill its mission. In other words, if its mission, which is to harvest and go forward, is not being, if people are not being filled to pray in tongues And it's not just koro balebere kereste. The edification, praise God, he who prays, Jude 20, he who prays in tongue builds himself up on his holy faith. 1 Corinthians 14, this is the reason why, because we're uttering mysteries that we, Romans 8, 26, it's him who makes intercession on and on and on. We know we get built up, but why? It's not just so we can, now I lay me down to sleep. I thank you, Lord, I can sleep real well because I've edified. It's so that we go, get up, and we say, my God, I prayed myself through that. And as a result of it, we're not going around in circles. If we don't receive our mission and follow through our mission, we cannibalize each other. That's where all of anything that can go wrong goes wrong. He says where there's strife and envy, there's every evil work. And it just, I mean, you can't even list all the things that can go bad in that party. It's always going forward. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Without going forward as Christian soldiers and marching as unto war, there's a mental creativeness that takes place. Now, you've heard me say this before. I don't know if you believe it. I believe it. Not because I'm really, 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 really smart, but I'm pretty smart. But I promise you that if we were not on this walk, and if we were not building the way that we're building, based on what is so easy to do with church building, seminars, and advertisement, and all kind of footprints that you can put forth with everything else, I just know that in 20 years, I could have, that's a good way to put it, I could have had this church 4 or 5 times bigger than it presently is. Easy. But because we've chosen this path, his path, the gates of hell said, you're throwing out mental creativeness? You're bypassing that? Looks like you're going to be one of those ones that tries to do it the hard way. No, we're doing it the right way. We're doing it the apostles' way. And I'll tell you what, before it's all over, we're going to have our whole city. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you for those amens. I really appreciate that. We are to be attacking the gates of hell. And remember what I said about the hostages in Auschwitz? They were hostages. But Psalms 24 says, who do they belong to? Do they belong to hell? They belong to us. If your son or daughter was a hostage somewhere tonight and they were being physically mistreated, if the law didn't do something about it, if you're any good parent, I'm telling you, if my two daughters were being held hostage and I couldn't get the law to do something about it, I'm telling you, you'd read about me because my body would be laying in the street somewhere. I promise you it would. I got a lot of guns, and I'd strap them all on, and I'd go get them. I would go get them, or else I wouldn't know about it that they weren't because I'd be in heaven. Well, you mean you would be in heaven if you shot? Oh, yeah. If you shot the place up, yeah, trying to get my kids out of there. Hallelujah. The Lord would have said, you know, if you'd had more faith, I'd have got them out of there. Hallelujah. But the world's hostages, and we got to do something about it spiritually. And we are, and you're here tonight. I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm just saying we can't mill around. We got to realize our, just like I said Sunday, and I appreciate everybody, you know, taking it. You know, we say some things, but we're trying to take every one of us to the next level, every one of us. Like I said Sunday, I said, don't make getting here on time your prerogative of that's, you know, that if I can just get to church, I said, don't set the bar there. Set the bar on getting here in pre-service worship. Let's create an atmosphere. Now, some of you work. I understand all that stuff. I understand that. But listen, every chance you get in there. Put your shoulder to the plow. Pray in tongues. Worship. What you create. You help create the atmosphere that's in here. And you out there as well, even in your own home. You create the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 16. Are you getting anything? Amen. Hallelujah. I hope so. Praise God. I believe you are. Matthew 16, and we're going to look at down around 13. This is where we were at in that previous verse. We're going to really kind of break this down just a little bit. Jesus is talking to Peter, and this, you know, that he had the conversation with his disciples. He asked them in verse 13, I hope you're there. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea and to Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist." They thought maybe some were saying, this guy is a reincarnate. He's come back. Because John was already beheaded, of course, you know. Some said Elias, and other Jeremiah, or Jeremias, which was Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. So they were guessing, the whole, you know, the crowds that didn't know him. He saith unto them, that's to the 12, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Hallelujah. "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter," and he was saying to Peter, "upon this rock," what rock? The rock that you have just spoken of, the revelation that I am the Son of the living God, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus said he is the rock of all revelation. Colossians 1:26, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. It says this, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the whole rock. This is the rock. This is the revelation. Christ in us and all that inheritance. We've been born again. Hallelujah. We've received eternal life. And out of that, we've received as inheritors all of the authority and the power to go and get our inheritance, which is his inheritance, and to change things around us in among our brethren. Gates of hell, we said a while ago, are not marching. When it says here, "and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," prevail does not, I don't know about you, but when I read that out of the King James, it doesn't say what it's supposed to say. Prevail against, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God. It sounds almost like that the gates of hell are marching towards us and that we are trying to, you know, to withdraw, or it doesn't mean that the gates of hell are coming after us. You know what it means? It means this. It means the gates of hell will not be able to withstand our siege that we're putting against it. Hallelujah. In other words, we're standing here, just one example. We're standing here every Sunday and Wednesday, or every Sunday night for years, and we're speaking the word of God over this city. There is spiritual gates around this city, but it's not going to prevail. In other words, they'll not be able to withstand the siege. We're the ones that we're the attackers. They're looking at us over the wall and say, we got all these people that need to come into the inheritance. And even in the church, even once they get born again, the enemy tries to come and wrap his deception, it's deception, that he has some kind of right to put sickness on people. Now listen, I understand, and I've taught it, and I will continue to teach it. We are not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But there, listen, a lot of times we're always, part of it is because we just lack the power yet to get something done. So a lot of times we'll try to figure out, what does that person have in their life that is stopping the glory from coming? What door have they opened? Listen, I'll tell you this. A thief, to start with, a thief doesn't need permission to come. A thief will just come and rob you if he can without permission. Do you understand that? There's a lot of brethren that are under the besiegement of a thief. They didn't open no door. He's just there camped saying, I've got them behind the wall, and he doesn't. It's a lie, but the gates of hell cannot prevail. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I like it. High five myself. Praise God. Glory be to God. Keys of the kingdom. He says this. He says, and I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not, and I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, what are the keys to the kingdom of heaven? Well, you know, simply put, without trying to go into all kinds of, boy, please, don't follow people on Facebook on this, or whatever they come up with, all kinds of, this is the authority that Christ gave us, that God gave us in Jesus' name. This is all the authority to come against the gates of hell and say, look, whether that is over a region or over your family or over somebody standing, I'll give away part of this. Part of one of those lessons that I was telling you about, Gary had done some really good research. Do you know for the first 300 years, the first three centuries, three or four, there were no such thing as prayer lines in the church. That is something that has been progressively started. James did have a remedy. If there's any sick, they could come and the elders could pray for them. And if they had committed sin, they would be forgiven. But prayer lines, especially in the church, was unheard of. That's something that we started. That wasn't something the first church was doing. We're getting back to a place where we're understanding who we are and what kind of wealth of inheritance we're supposed to walk in physically. And if we understand that, then we start going after people. And we're not living. See, your world can get real, 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 real small. You can just live in this little tiny box called you. It's just you. It's just you. You think about you all day long, trying to figure about all you need, your romances, your finances, your health, on and on. And God wants to expand you and make you as big as he is, and understanding there's a harvest out there. My world's taken care of. If I will seek first the kingdom of God, if I will go into him, I'll be healed mentally. I'll be healed socially. I'll be healed in every way. I don't have to strive and make me work. I just have to go into him. That's our inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got to read this because you've got to see this. Just like I was trying to get over to you, I hope I did. Psalms 24, how that belongs to us. That world out there belongs to us. Those heathens belong to us. If we're trying to get something back from the devil that it belongs to him by right of that they have his nature in them, but what Christ did supersedes that. We have the authority to go and get them and by his Holy Spirit invade their lives and pull them over into the kingdom of God. Now I want to read to you because I said this Sunday, I think I said it was Sunday, but I want to read to you very emphatically, and then I want to read to you two places. I want to read to you out of the Amplified, and then I want to read to you out of the actual Greek, so you can get this. This is Matthew 16, 18, and it's out of the Amplified, and I thought they did a pretty good job. I will tell you, he said, Jesus said this, I tell you the truth, you are Peter, and it goes into Petros, that's okay, it'll break it all down, the masculine, a large piece of rock, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I won't go into all that. A huge rock like Gibraltar, okay. I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or to hold out against it. That sounds like I don't remember reading that part. But isn't that the siege? It can't hold out against. Okay? Everybody got that? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind, that is, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, declare lawful, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Now, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's really good. I really like that. But sometimes, you know, I wonder, okay, did they color that up too much? And I like that. The way they said it, it's already done. It's already considered absolutely done. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read what other people have broke down in the Greek. And this is a Greek book, and it's a Greek and Hebrew interlineal Bible. I've used it for years. Now, of course, you get one on your iPad if you'd like, but this particular one I'm going to read out of. And let's see here. Now, this is the transliteration. I'm going to read the transliteration. The transliteration is a subpart of the actual translation. A transliteration actually takes it and kind of puts it in our vernacular. Okay, I'll read both of these to you. That'll help us out. I might squint here because this is really small. And I also say unto you that you, or this is the Greek, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against her. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall occur. Having already, wow, see this is in the original, having already been bound in heaven. And whatever you may loose on earth shall be, having been already loosed in heaven, then. Okay, that's the next verse. Isn't that interesting? That's out of the Greek. Okay, now that's a transliteration. Now I'm going to try to read you word for word. Now I really got to squint here because they've got three lines here for me to go by here. Okay. I also, and to you say, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build of me the church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against her. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be, having been bound in heavens. That's exactly what Jesus said. It's already been bound in heavens. And whatever you loose on earth shall be, having been loosed in the heavens. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? That's just, my God, that is Psalms 24 again. That is saying, look, whatever you look at and say, that's the gates of hell got that bound, my friend is bound. My Christian friend is bound. There's a gate that is trying to keep him from his inheritance. When I go in there to invade, when I go to pray for my friend, I can know this. This isn't something that I've got to get the agreement with heaven for. He said that as far as heaven is concerned, that's already been accomplished. It's already been cast out. It's already been removed. It's already been healed. It's already a done deal as far as heaven is concerned. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. We have rights to the inhabitants of the earth, the harvest, and setting them free physically, like I just mentioned. We are ambassadors with a big stick. We are not innovators. We do not have to reinvent the wheel, miracles, healings, etc. We just simply must declare them. This is what we really need to get. Here, the simplicity of it is this, is if you think that you've got to go in there and, ooh, I got to, you know, they got cancer and I got to, oh my God, cancer is really bad. I've got to make this happen. Listen, we're not innovators. In other words, we don't have to. The will has already been invented, if you want to put it that way. Christ has done it. Heaven says it's done. Heaven says that person's healed. All we've got to do, you say, you make it pretty really simple. It is really simple. It really is simple. We just got to go in there and declare you're healed. Heaven says you're healed. You're healed. You're healed. You're healed. I don't have to recreate. I don't have to stir it up. I don't have to. Hallelujah. Now, we preach holiness around here, and we preach going forward, and we preach praying in tongues, and we preach all that, and we're going to continue to do that. You're going to get that part of your meats and vegetables, and this whole thing is going to be, you're going to have a full course meal. But there's been far too much that Satan has used about when you go to approach that person, did I pray enough? Have I been to church enough? Have I given enough? Have I blah, blah, blah. You just need to kick that to the curb and say, look, that goes back to me. Now I'm trying to recreate this thing. I'm going as an ambassador of heaven. I'm putting any and all my righteousness over there, and I'm just saying, I'm declaring to you, be healed. Get up. Hallelujah. Get up. It's done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are giving the simple right of enforcing the dominion of the kingdom of heaven over sickness and disease. Now, this is tough because we've seen a lot this past few years, even this past year. When someone dies that we prayed for, I think, now this is what I believe, I think heaven's shocked. They're shocked because from their standpoint, it's already done. When those people get there, they're like, what are you doing here? Now, if there's any reports in heaven, I don't know if they ever know anything about whether somebody's sick or not. I don't have word on that. But if they did, they certainly wouldn't expect someone to get there prematurely that knows the truth that we know. Oh, come on now. I'm preaching at or with you guys at me as well. I'm not preaching at you. Because it's settled, so settled in heaven that we are absolutely healed. Why did that person die in heaven? The Chronicle, you know, there's probably not a newspaper in heaven, but if there was, the Chronicles in heaven would be totally shocked that a person died when there is what he just said right there, when Jesus said, I give you the keys of dominion, and whatsoever you bind on earth, Does binding sound like, so we're talking about gates and binding and loosing. If you got a key to something, does that sound like locking something up? Or loosen, does that sound like loosen something up? It's all in context. And we're not the thieves. Thieves have to break in. Listen, when the Allies come in to, when the good guys come in to Auschwitz and all those camps, they didn't come in. Can we come? They came in with big old tanks. We come in with our swag. We come in saying, we're not apologizing coming in here in the spirit I'm talking about. This is something that belongs to us, and our inheritance is to say to you, just as a declaration, I don't have to do, I'm not doing this. It's not even me doing it. It's just the Word of God. Whatever I declare, this is what the Word says. Whatever you declare on earth has already been declared in heaven. And it basically says this. We just read it. Whatever you allow on earth is going to be allowed in heaven, it can't stop it. And if you allow it, hallelujah, we're not going to allow it. Amen. Praise God. Don't worry about this if heaven's got your back. Heaven does have our back. Do you know that? It does. Well, I don't know. I might pray for them and they might. Listen, I hate to be a practicing preacher, but I'm going to keep going until they all get healed. Okay? I don't really have even time to talk to you about why this one, why you're trying to talk to me about why did this person die is time wasted for me that I can be shundalai, 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 praying in tongues and reading the Word of God. And if you don't have it figured out, don't come to me because I don't have time. We just got to keep praying. I know what the Word of God says. It says, whatever you bind is bound. Heaven is sitting there pulsating like a huge Hemi engine. Now, it doesn't have hundreds of horsepower. You know, those big old Dodge. Heaven's just sitting there. Just go pray for them. And they're like the angels. They're putting on a party. They're putting on a party. They're going to go pray. 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 They're going to have a service where they're going to go pray. The angels, man, they're putting on their tuxedos, the metal patent leather shoes. They're putting on top hats, and they might even carry a cane and high-fiving each other. They're going to go pray. And they're sitting there, woo, 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 woo. Heaven's like, woo, 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 woo. We're going to let this thing go. Let this going to cascade. It's going to woo, 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 woo. And it go, woo, 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 woo. And then we go in there. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. This one's soul will keep. If they don't die before they wake, I pray the Lord. Or if they do die before they wake, I pray the Lord. Their soul to take. And the angels are going, what? What? We got ready? You know, they're getting ready for the church. Hebrews 1:14 says, are they not all ministering spirits? It's talking about angels. Sent forth to minister to them to whom will be heirs of salvation. We've got, listen, what's backing us up? What is our backup? What it really is our backup? Now let's just consider for just a moment. What is our backup? We've got God the Father, who's the creator of the universe. Okay? He created the whole. We've got God the Son, which is our Redeemer, and the essence of all the universe came out of Him. Colossians tells us this came out of Him. John says all things were made by Him and for Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. All things came out. He's the one in which all things, according to the Word, this chair, this carpet, my skin, those lights, I know they were mind things and they're material things, but everything that is in existence came out of the Logos. Everything, when God the Father said, everything came out of Him. Everything. And then the Holy Spirit, third member, He's the molecule changer. He took everything that was in Jesus and turned it into an earth. And then He comes and does the tremendous work of regeneration, an invisible, I can't see Him. He moves into through my body, into my spirit at the moment of salvation and recreates something. Now we got all three of those. One God, and then we got, Revelation says, an innumerable amount of angels. And these innumerable amount of angels are standing around saying, we will assist you. And we're going to talk about later about how that they do assist us. And they will assist us in atmospheres. They'll assist us in all kinds of things. And man, they're just waiting. They're pulsating. They got those tuxedos on and they got those hi-hats on. And they're saying, you know, let's get this party started in here. And I'm not talking about that nasty song that Black Eyed Peas sings. I'm talking about something that they were really partying. I'm talking about something good. I'm talking about, they're talking about, they going over there and all of heaven backs them up. It backs them up. Y'all ought to be just running like crazy. Hallelujah. I'm determined. Okay. All right, I will say it. Okay. I have myself, I'm not talking about anybody else, but other people obviously have been involved in this, and they're all right where I'm at. We're all shoulder to shoulder, okay? So we're not like I'm not out here. We're shoulder to shoulder. Before I left to go to Jim Martin's, I went and saw a lady that she was dying, and we knew she was going to die. And her family had resolved that she was going to die. She had resolved that she was going to die. And listen, I still know this, that you can't supersede somebody's will, except that we come to a place where the power of Christ is working so strong in us. And I'm telling you, I'm getting closer. There's an itch. I know that what I've been standing in is not wrong at the place where I've been standing. But I'm, because the word is gravitating me to another place, I see the hour when, and that not condemning nobody, when all the family's given up, and when my old mentality was, that's about as good as we can do at this point in time. That's not bad where I was, but I'm telling you, there's another place. We're at the gate Nain. He said, just stop. You guys were intending on burying this guy, weren't you? Oh, yeah, your will was to totally, because your son's dead. Now, he didn't say all this. He didn't ask him. He didn't ask him what their will was. And you sure can't ask the dead man what his will is. Just get up. Just get up. I can see the hour that, and I pray, God, let it be now. I don't want procrastination where I step into those hospital rooms. And here's where it's going to be tough. This is where the flush will come in your face, and you'll get a little, you're going to have to swallow real deep and say, okay, man, I've never done anything like this before, but he's telling me to tell the family, listen, I got to go back there and give it my shot. I believe he can get up now. Well, no, we done made arrangements. We done this, we done that, we done it. Listen, if we don't go for it all, folks, we're backing up. Hallelujah. They did. They made the arrangements for Lazarus. Come out. Yep. Hallelujah. That's a good one. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time?
Yes.
Praise God. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for this opportunity to continue to speak your word and to go forward in the power of your Spirit. We commit all things to you in our life going forward by your grace and glory. In Jesus' name, bless these folks. Bless them and bless us at our home as we go forward in the things of God. Let us open the word of God wherever anybody's at in here in their walk. Lord, let them spend some amount of time on a weekly basis just in your word and just praying in tongues and seeking you. Father, we love you. We thank you for where you're taking us to, and we commit all things to you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.